Jesus. Evening, Rob.
Oh, sir, hi.
Good, how are you?
Good, good, man. You just tell me a elliptical cycle, not few of my bulbs.
Getting your work done. Getting your work done, my
Yeah.
man.
It's my favorite
More
time.
or morning for you, right?
Yeah, Thursday morning. But I normally train in the wee hours of the morning before the kids wake up, so I'm up at about 4:30. But Thursday is at 8 a.m. call. And Thursday is my phone kill day, so I'll get an extra hour and a bit of sleep in there, and then use this student an hour of that thing.
Oh, man. VR standard getting work done. John, what's going on? You're on mute, brother.
Could you hear anything I said?
Nothing.
So I said, today is the anniversary of the day I went back to the gym 7 years ago. So I'm celebrating consistency. Just finished my workout.
Ah, amazing. What a man. See what you can do. That was post heart attack, right?
The heart attack was in 2010. And then in 2019, I stepped on the scale and I was weighed as much as I did at the time of the heart attack. And I said, I can't do this. So I went back to the gym and I went to CrossFit because it was a quarter mile from my house and there was coaching.
Look how far you've come, my man. Great results. Awesome to see. VR, are you okay to talk? Oh.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I can hear you, man.
What's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Good. Just in between patients.
You back on track? After your one of your many vacations.
Yep. Doing good. Flying out next week, actually.
Where are
Again.
you going?
Peru.
Oh, nice, man.
Yeah. Taking the kids for a little hiking trip.
Oh, that's awesome, man. You guys seen any, like, I know not everyone's that interested in the US, but you must be seeing some of the World Cup that's going on.
Oh yeah, I mean, you guys just played, didn't you, today?
I'm Irish,
Were you
VR.
watching? Oh,
Careful.
you're Irish. Who's the? You guys are not in there then, huh? Are you on there?
US arena. England just played Croatia. That game's
Okay,
just finished.
I haven't been paying attention, so.
It's best
Even
sport
though
in
it's
the world.
right here,
Best sport in the world.
I think it's Australia versus US on the weekend, isn't it?
No. Yeah, Australia, US at the weekend. Paul, how are you?
Perfectly fine.
You following the World Cup?
No, I don't follow sports at all.
Yeah, but it's not sport, it's a religion. How's everything going with you anyway?
Fine. Just got back from a week of traveling and back into swing of things.
Were you away on vacation?
Kind of. Visiting my sister and nephews.
Oh, nice. Where was that?
Missouri. It's like 8 hours away from where I live.
You see, you Americans are wild. Like, did you drive
Over
that?
the
You
course of a day.
guys, like, yeah, like easy 8 hour drive. Like we do anything over 2 hours for us, we're like, that's too far. That's too far. No, nice, man.
Closest family I have is just 2 hours away, so.
Yeah. Thompson, you there? I won't annoy you if you need to, if you're in the middle of something. You're on mute, Thompson.
I said I am. I'm just hiding my late night eating from my coach.
Your poor late night eating habits. That's all right. He's not here. You won't see it. All right, guys. Today, we're going to talk a little bit more about optimizing testosterone. And some of the things that we can do in order to do so. I wanted to try and think of some of the stuff that you guys may be missing. Some of you are optimized exogenously, which isn't a problem. But if anyone's trying to look at different ways in which to look at testosterone, because a lot of people will come in and say, I want to get my testosterone to X number. And they generally want to do that by using some sort of testosterone boosting supplement. And it can ha like they can have their benefits, right? But we got to figure out what the underlying problem is. And you have to take into consideration the body doesn't do stuff for no reason. When we see low testosterone in somebody, some people have naturally lower levels of testosterone, which is fine. And then some people will have lowered testosterone because the body wants it that way. If we have some sort of low grade systemic inflammation issue going on, we obviously need our immune system to be a little bit more amped in a situation like that. The thing that we forget is testosterone is immunosuppressive. So why would the body want high testosterone when there's actually some sort of mild infection, or if there's liver issues or there's cardiovascular issues, why would it want something that's immunosuppressive? So the body doesn't do this for no reason. And I always consider this when I think about people who have low testosterone because they have metabolic syndrome, for example. And I wonder whether actually putting testosterone on top of that is necessarily a good thing. Now, there's not much research behind that and whether that's the case, but it's always something I think about. And also, it's worth noting when we perceive or when the body perceives threat, it prioritizes the immediate. It does not prioritize long-term success, or in this case, long-term reproduction. So when the body is stressed, actually the production of testosterone is quite energy expensive. So why would it do it in a circumstance like that? It's like trying to put muscle mass on when you're massively stressed. It becomes more difficult. When the body perceives stress, it does not want to lay down that foundation. It wants to protect now, so it's not considering your lineage per se. So that's why testosterone can be affected by those things. But I just think that's important to note. So trying to find the underlying cause of low testosterone is probably more important than just trying to target it as a marker by itself. So just keep that in mind as we go through this. I know there's a few here that I know of that are on replacement testosterone. Does anybody here actually flag with low testosterone on a blood test? I'm trying to think. I've seen most of all of your blood tests at one stage, and most of you are actually okay. Yeah. Good group of virile men. Now, let's go through some of the stuff that we can take into consideration. Do, 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 do. So, testosterone optimization. So, I've already discussed in terms of what or why do we actually have low testosterone and discussing it in terms of like, is that actually the body's correct approach to something that's occurring underneath? But we'll actually go into some of the reasons as to why we can have low testosterone. And some of them might surprise some of you because the vast majority of things will have a general influence on our ability to be able to produce it. Now, what are some of the symptoms? Most people always jump straight to something like erectile dysfunction when they think about low testosterone, but actually, that's predominantly associated with low nitric oxide. So the inability to be able to get blood flow to that area. But erectile dysfunction can also play a role, and low testosterone, low nitric oxide tend to go together anyway. But some of the more things like insomnia, depression, mood disorders are dramatic when it comes to stuff like this. And the inability to be able to recover from training. The thing that people often forget is that not directly, But what testosterone does is it suppresses prolactin, and prolactin, when it is low, allows dopamine to be high. So we see much more focus, concentration, and drive in those that have high testosterone. It also allows us to take more risk. So if you think the man with high testosterone, if we go back ancestrally, he is more inclined to take a risk in order to achieve whatever he wants, whether that's to kill the big animal or whatever it may be. Obviously comes with its own risks. But like whether it's concentration, motivation, all these things are associated with andropause. Andropause, most of us will know the phrase menopause. Andropause is starting to get, especially in the States, is far more recognized than it was maybe 10 years ago. And the use of replacement testosterone, I mean, you guys might remember, like I remember going back to my 20s, and anyone who used testosterone back then was just using it for anabolic reasons. So they were using hyperphysio or superphysiological doses just to grow muscle. I never heard of someone on testosterone replacement 20 years ago. But it's become much more recognized now, which is cool because it's not when we see, like, obviously, just these symptoms. Low testosterone actually seems to lead to higher levels of cardiovascular risk in males as well. So it's not just the hormone makes you feel good, gives you an erection, and makes you focus. There, you tend to see poor health outcomes with those who have low testosterone as well. So optimizing it is actually really important for our long-term health. And obviously, when we look at things like muscle mass, is quite important there as well. Now, these are all of the multitude of things that can lead into low testosterone. The main things that I see: high blood sugar, high cortisol, liver health, poor sleep. This is what I see in most guys. We can have issues which we do see. So some people just have really high levels of prolactin. Prolactin is the lactating hormone in females, but we do see high levels in males as well, and that suppresses testosterone. We can get it from direct testicular damage. Now, there are things within our body that can cause direct testicular damage, including our gut health. So if bacteria leaks out from our gut into our circulation, that can do direct damage to our testicles. So it is really worth noting. And one thing I didn't put here is nutrient deficiency can play a major role in testosterone. So we'll go through some of the major nutrients involved in it a little bit later. But just taking all that stuff into consideration, and for most guys, we'll see it in terms of poor sleep, high stress, possible toxic exposure in certain circumstances, but high blood sugar. These tend to be the major ones. There's an inverse relationship between blood sugar, type 2 diabetes, and testosterone. And most of that is because when blood sugar goes high in males, it increases an enzyme called aromatase. And aromatase converts all our hard work. So it converts the testosterone that we created and it turns it into estrogen. It's why when we see type, it's not a paradox. It works perfectly. It makes perfect sense. But when men become type 2 diabetic or have really high blood sugar, they tend to start to present more like females. So they get softer skin, erectile dysfunction. They can lose some of their facial hair. Well, it happens in opposition with females. They'll actually produce more testosterone in that circumstance, so they present more like males. So it's why we see that PCOS breakdown in females with a protruding belly, male characteristics, deeper voice, and hirsutism. So they'll start to get hair where they wouldn't have before. Now, taking this stuff, but one of the other things that people tend to forget about, multiple concussions. So guys who have had multiple head traumas, this can lead to a secondary hypogonadism where it's actually a brain-centric problem. That normally has to be treated with exogenous testosterone, right? So if you've had especially more than one concussion, or if you've ever been knocked unconscious. Those knocks to the brain can cause significant issues around uncontrolled, like blood pressure, depression, and hormonal issues for sure. So, any of you guys who have had multiple knocks to the head with low testosterone, this could be some of the reason if you can't unravel it elsewhere. So, all that stuff is just worth noting for you guys. Now, having seen most of your guys' blood work, most of you guys are pretty good in terms of blood sugar and in terms of liver health. So not really a concern, but I would take brain health into consideration with this. We obviously see stuff like really low cholesterol, low protein, low fat. These things, macronutrient-wise, can play a role. Doesn't tend to be an issue in our population, though, right? So just worth noting. So this is generally what I see as the web of low testosterone. So these are the major contributors. The adrenals is more associated to the stress response. Now, mitochondrial function, or our ability to be able to produce energy, the first steps in testosterone production occur within the mitochondria. So chasing aerobic fitness, making sure we're eating appropriately, making sure we have gaps between meals, making sure that we eat with a certain amount of time before we go to bed. And one of the things that is very interesting about the gastrointestinal system and low testosterone, I know I touched on it briefly before, but it's called the gelding effect. So when we have this leaky gut scenario, which I see way too often in people. So as their gut barrier starts to pull apart, and some of these bacteria that should be contained within our lumen start to leak out, they're called lipopolysaccharides. They can get all the way down to the testicles and do direct damage to the Sertoli cells. So we often neglect the gastrointestinal system as part of this web, but it does seem to play a major role. And then fat cells also play a role. So when we have an overabundance of fat cells, or more so if our singular fat cells are growing too much, they release these horrible inflammatory cytokines called IL-6, tumor necrosis factor, and they will have direct effects at lowering testosterone as well. So when I get someone who I look at and they come in and they're got central adiposity, so they've got a lot of belly fat or a lot of visceral fat, I always think, like, when I see low testosterone or high blood sugar with that, I think, right, this is the major clear mechanism as to why someone might have it. And that's obviously the first thing you need to solve. So I know a lot of you guys will have had your testosterone checked at different stages. Have you noticed, and this is the weird thing, and we'll touch on supplements in a little bit, have you any of you guys noticed changes in testosterone with supplementation? You can either shout it out or chuck it in the chat. Actually, I'll come out of this for a sec. Has anybody actually tried supplementation to increase testosterone? No?
So, Greg, when I was in the testosterone program, you were able to triple my testosterone and my free testosterone, but I was so low that I had no choice but to eventually go to testosterone TRT.
Yeah. And that's an important note, right? So we never gave John any testosterone boosting supplements. And it's interesting, right? So if you have someone whose testosterone is 200, right? And you see some of these testosterone boosting supplements out there, whether it's Tongkat Ali, whatever one you see, ashwagandha, and they may claim that it can increase testosterone by 20%. That's great, but that's going to take your testosterone from 200 to 240. It will have little to no effect on outcome. So it's why I don't take those supplements very seriously. However, I have seen in some cases people's testosterone increasing by upwards of 50% with some of them. It doesn't seem to show that in research, and they're just individual case studies, but I can't argue that point. So that's why I was kind of asking you guys if any of you guys experienced that kind of increase with the use of some of those testosterone boosting supplements. like someone increased their testosterone by 50%, that's amazing. I won't argue the point, but it's worth noting that predominantly it seems to be 10 to 20. So not particularly effective. Now, so when we can see what the true problems are, we can start to try and unravel what the problem may be. And I imagine for a lot of guys coming through Muscle Intelligence, a lot of the issues seem to be around sleep or stress. Most of you guys on this call in particular have good body compositions, so it's not a fat accumulation issue. Most of you are aerobically fit, as we're watching Hartley do his get his elliptical in first thing in the morning, right? So it looks like most of you guys have most of this stuff under control. So for a lot of you, it'll be sleep and stress that play the major role. Cortisol, the hormone in particular, when extensively released, does have a suppressive effect on testosterone production. No. Full screen. Thank you. Now, a few things to think about or to understand. So as I go through this, these are some of the things that can play a role in your ability to either produce muscle or to actually have available testosterone. So myostatin is produced and released by myocytes, and they act on muscle cells to inhibit muscle growth. So who has seen the myostatin knockout cows? I think in Belgium they have them, and they're those giant muscular cows, and they're allowed uncontrolled muscle growth, right? There is some stuff that we can do naturally to inhibit myostatin slightly. Some of you guys might see like follistatins become quite popular now as a peptide. I don't know if I'd be there and I'd be willing to take it myself. Like major myostatin inhibition probably isn't a good thing. But aromatase is a big one. Aromatase is the enzyme that I spoke about before that will convert testosterone into estrogen. So you've done all this hard work, you've produced lots of testosterone, you see people who have these like mid-level, high normal levels of testosterone, but then their estrogen's high at the same time. It's because they go through a lot of this aromatization. And like I mentioned, predominantly that's associated with high levels of blood sugar or swings in blood sugar. But there's lots of stuff that we can do to inhibit aromatase. And actually, it's leading back into like food types. So we get things called indole 3-carbinol and DIM are the supplements that we tend to take to inhibit aromatase. Zinc does it as well. But we find indole 3-carbinol and DIM in a lot of the cruciferous vegetables that we eat, broccoli, sprouts in particular. So having those within your diets can be particularly useful. And then you do tend to see guys with high normal level of SHBG, which is sex hormone binding globulin. When we see testosterone on a blood test, when we get that total number, that actually doesn't give us much indication of how much available free testosterone we have. It's the free testosterone that actually works its magic at a cellular level. So we can get all of our total testosterone bound up by this SHBG, and that can cause problems. And then, lastly, you get what are called androgen receptors. So these are the receptors that actually hear the message from testosterone. And some of us have really sensitive androgen receptors. And so this is where like I see this relatively regularly. Guys with low testosterone or low normal testosterone, but they got lots of muscle, they got lots of focus, they got massive sex drive, and they don't actually show the symptoms. And it's because their actual receptors are really sensitive. So in some of those circumstances, the use of exogenous testosterone may not be ideal for that person. Like if you don't show any symptoms of low testosterone, is it worth actually supplementing with it? I don't think so. But just take those into consideration as we go through some of the supplementation. Now, what has been shown to work effectively for testosterone. There's loads of different stuff out there, and it will all depend on how you present initially. Like I said, if someone comes in type 2 diabetic, going low carb keto may be more beneficial in that kind of circumstance. But I would think for a lot of you guys, as mentioned, incorporating a lot more vegetables within your diet that can help not just with overall health, not just with gut health, not with controlling cholesterol, but also because they have some of these compounds in them, like I mentioned, indole 3-carbinol, DIM, berries, because they contain resveratrol, which is also shown to inhibit aromatase. So incorporating wide variety of these things within your diet can be really, really useful at not just increasing testosterone, but making sure that when we make it, we keep it. And don't look at estrogen as this wholly bad thing for males. It's actually really important. It increases vaso dilation, so we get more blood flow when we have more estrogen. So it is important, but we would want to keep the majority of our testosterone available to us. Now, I think we all know this one, right? And I don't want to beat you guys over the head with it too much. We need protein. Leucine increases mTOR, leads to reductions in myostatin, can lead to increases in testosterone. Now, T plate model is how I would explain this to people who, if I ever do presentations for companies, which I'll do the odd time with people who are quite nutritionally illiterate, this is how I tend to place something like this for them. It's like half of your plate should genuinely be made up of vegetables and berries. Like, that's the way you have to take this into consideration of how important they are for your overall health, but particularly even for testosterone. Then quarter plate of meat and fat, and then your other quarter plate of carbohydrate source. So that's generally at a very basic level what you guys can think about in regards to trying to increase testosterone levels. But this is probably some of the biggest things. And I think this quote is particularly apt in this circumstance. So it makes good adaptive sense that testosterone's behavioral influence during an emergency situation gets blocked because engaging in behaviors that are encouraged by testosterone, such as mating, competition, and aggression during an imminent survival situation, could be fatal. Think about that. That makes a lot of sense. So when we have high levels of cortisol, why would we want to go out and mate, fight, do all these things when we see this as an imminent issue? And then on the other hand, encouraged by cortisol becomes more likely during an emergency situation when cortisol levels are high. Thus, it makes sense that the hormonal axis that regulates testosterone levels and cortisol levels are antagonist, which means they're opposing. High levels of stress, particularly over a long period of time, low levels of testosterone. So, as I beat you guys over the head with regularly on these chats, what are we doing to downregulate stress? So whether it's appropriate sleep, whether it's meditation, whether it's phones away, like, I don't know about anyone else. I've had a particularly bad week this week with doom scrolling, and I notice my heart rate almost increase by the end of a stupid 20 minutes of flicking through my phone. Interesting, right? So what researchers discovered was that individuals who slept only 5.5 hours had 60% less muscle mass at the end of the study, while those who slept 8.5 had 40% more. So we can see that, especially when we get into like below 6 hours, we will see changes. Like 4 hours, men who slept on average of 4 hours had 200 to 300 nanograms per deciliter, while those who slept for 8 had 500 to 700. These are quite dramatic. So each extra hour of sleep led to about a 15% increase in total testosterone levels. So if you're going from 5 to 8 hours, that's an extra 45% of testosterone. And you won't find a supplement that will do that for you. So, if you're not taking these things into consideration, I generally say forget about the rest. I love that thing. I love that mention before, particularly around stress. Like, there's just antagonist and inverse relationship between those two hormones of cortisol and testosterone. Now, I'm trying to give the some of the supplements, these are some of the more nuanced ones that you may see. So I'm not going to talk about the real standardized ones that you guys would see or that get promoted. These are some of the ones that can actually have really positive effects. So if you are deficient in vitamin D or you're deficient in zinc, they are going to play a major, major role. And the reason why I put magnesium there as well is because magnesium is needed to actually with the for the utilization of vitamin D. So if you have deficiencies in zinc or vitamin D, you are most likely or you're going to be at much higher risk of having low testosterone. Like you see with vitamin D, it lowers myostatin, increases androgen receptor sensitivity, lowers SHBG, increases testosterone. So it does basically everything that we wanted to do. We look at zinc, higher testosterone, lowers aromatase. Like these are really potent things. And vitamin D, especially. Shout out to Thompson for us boys in Britain. We don't get a lot of sunlight, and a lot of you guys have genetic polymorphisms for either the vitamin D receptor or your ability to convert it to its active form within the kidney. So looking at vitamin D is really, really important, and making sure it's in at least that halfway level or the upper quartile. And then zinc, I don't tend to see deficiency as much, but it does happen, right? So if you have low testosterone, I would be looking at obviously all the physiological reasons as to why, but I would also be really taking into consideration zinc and vitamin D as the major cornerstone of nutrients that are needed to help increase it. And then some of the real basic stuff, creatine, resveratrol, and L-carnitine surprisingly works really well at increasing an androgen receptor. So these are some of the more nuanced things. And like dose-wise, like creatine, you guys can push relatively high. Like we all know its benefits around brain health now as well, especially for any of you guys who've had a lot of traumatic brain injuries. Creatine can be a fantastic supplement for you. Omega-3, we're looking at 2 to 3 grams of combination a day. Resveratrol, anything between 500 milligrams and a gram. And L-carnitine is generally 1 to 2 grams daily. And these can have really positive outcomes for testosterone levels when taken in combination. So don't just think about this as taking something that boosts testosterone. Think about what these things actually do and what you're trying to target. Like for a lot of you guys, you may have really high, you might have higher than normal estrogen levels. Then you can pick from these what might be most appropriate. So that would probably be zinc and something like resveratrol. If you're noticing that it's a cortisol issue, maybe ashwagandha, maybe omega-3s. If it's an SHBG issue, which is relatively common, then you can go vitamin D and omega-3. So, looking at this holistically, at what actually is the mechanism involved in your problem, and then targeting that, other than, as I like to call it, educated throwing shit at the wall, we can actually be more specific. Now, this is just when we think about like the nutrients involved in it. So, like, this is just the step from cholesterol into making testosterone. And you can see the amount of nutrients that are needed: vitamin C, vitamin E, zinc, magnesium, vitamin A, B3, B6 is needed, folate, licorice. I don't know why licorice would be needed to create aldosterone, but it does increase water retention. So there's B12 in there. So like there's a hell of a lot of nutrients that we need in order to produce testosterone. So if we're deficient in any of these things, it's going to play a role in our ability to be able to go from cholesterol right down to into making testosterone. So don't just look at it as a single supplement problem. Look at it as a whole body nutrient problem when we're trying to create it. Now, this one was actually relatively shorter than the amount that I normally speak. Open floor for you guys. Have you guys got any questions on any of this? Or it doesn't have to be directly associated with testosterone. It can be associated with whatever you guys want to talk about.
A quick question.
Go VR.
Have you seen any research on like these GLP-1s or GLP-3s and the testosterone? What the effect?
Not directly, no. It's interesting actually, but I would imagine in the vast majority they would have positive effects. They seem to have anti-inflammatory effects outside of just their weight lowering capacity. So if you're lowering inflammation, I would imagine they'll have a positive effects on testosterone. I haven't seen anything directly associated with it, but I would imagine it's mostly positive. Have you seen anything?
No, I'm wondering because I'm like, because you do tend to lose, because most people who are on these, well, not the GLP, not like retatrutide or anything like that, but Ozempic and stuff like that. Most people don't make the changes. They're just taking it as a magic pill, right? To lose the weight, and then you get muscle loss with that. So I'm trying to see because there's things coming out now where they're like people are going through, they're getting like mental issues. So I'm wondering, like, if you get muscle loss, does that end up taking testosterone down also, or is there a correlation between all that?
The muscle loss from GLP-1s is not drug specific, though. So
Okay.
that's generally because people will go on such aggressive diets and not eat protein and train. So
Right.
it doesn't seem that they
Okay.
don't play an effect directly. So you see the same outcomes when people just lose weight naturally.
Okay.
In regards to like really when they roll out these drugs to such massive swathes of the population, you're going to see some weird outcomes. So, like when people are talking about, like, I know I've heard case studies of psychosis from GLP-1 agonists, but why? I don't know because
Okay.
it's because they do play on the dopamine, the substantia nigra within the brain. So they do play on dopamine, and that's how they actually lower cravings. But directly for that kind of thing, I'm not sure why that's happening. Like there's obviously been cases of kidney failure, which is really weird because generally, if you control blood pressure and you control blood sugar, kidney function should actually really
Get
improve.
better.
Now, what's an interesting thought, and some guys in my kind of side of the industry are talking about it, with really aggressive fat loss. Because we get exposed to so much organic pollutants like dioxins, we store those within our fat cells. So when we can't detoxify something, like heavy metals will do it as well, we'll just chuck them into our fat cells because they're relatively inert when they're there. And some people are wondering, with the liberation of all these, because we do see it. We see it in bariatric surgery when people go through dramatic fat loss. We do see uptick in stuff like dioxins and heavy metals. So I wonder if that's playing a role in some of the stuff that we're seeing, like some of the really weird symptoms, because they will find their way. If we liberate a lot of these toxins and we can't clear them, they will find their way to other fatty tissue. So whether that's the brain, the pancreas, the liver, the kidney, and they could probably do damage there.
Okay. I guess one more question since I'm unmuted.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's your thoughts on the like sprinting and like sprinting once a week to increase testosterone is what's a benefit?
Oh, I don't know.
Because when I started this like this paleo primal lifestyle back like 10 years ago, they used to talk about this to increase testosterone. They said you should do sprints once a week. I've never seen any research or anything on it. Just kind of how I felt. But I never did it long enough to be like, I didn't do any blood tests or anything like that to see any, you know.
It's interesting, and it's actually something I'll look at. I imagine positive outcomes on testosterone. I've just never seen anything on it. I've never looked at anything specifically outside of like aerobic work or like high intensity. Well, high intensity work seems to have benefit around testosterone, but sprints in particular, no, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I'll look into it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll have a look as well.
Yeah.
Any more questions for her? Good.
Okay, fine,
Anybody?
Greg.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Zinc. So I flagged in a recent blood test with my GP as low in zinc. But she also said that it's in her experience with a real common lab error. Like, she sort of said, hang on, nothing about your life. So you should, probably shouldn't be low in zinc. I don't think you really are. Let's get you retested. Haven't been able to do it yet. Is there any downside to zinc supplementation if you're not deficient? Like, it's a pretty cheap supplement. Should I just start taking some zinc supplementation while waiting to get retested? Do I just piss it out if I don't need it? Like, what's the what is the downside?
It's actually a good question because zinc does compete with other metals. So with particularly with high dose long term use of zinc, we can become deficient in copper. And I know copper is not widely spoken about, but copper in high levels is obviously really bad. But like copper is really, really important for our ability, like because we can have like copper associated anemias. It is important for energy production as well. So taking like high dose zinc for long periods of time can compete with that, and it can compete with iron as well. So if you're low in zinc, clearly, you do tend to see low ALP on a blood test as well, because that's a zinc dependent enzyme. Now, taking something like 10 to 20 milligrams of zinc is absolutely fine. I just wouldn't push it towards the upper echelons that you see where people are taking 50 milligrams a day, long periods. So, like, you could take 10, 20 milligrams now until your tests come back without a problem. Anybody else got any questions for me? Go ahead, John.
This has to do with something I sent you a couple of days ago. So I was looking, since I'm getting my blood work done on July 6th, you had talked about doing blood donation 10 days beforehand. And when I was doing things, I noticed that one of my drugs precludes me from being able to donate blood. So what do I do?
You can blood dump. So there is places that will allow you to blood dump. So like they won't actually give it to donate. They just get rid of it. Where? I'm not 100% sure. So like,
I read that I need a prescription to do that, so I need to talk to my doctor, I think.
really? Okay. Because like a lot of the like testosterone replacement places in the UK will do that, because you'll find a lot of the guys that are on a lot of really weird different anabolics that they won't necessarily want as donation. So they do allow blood dumps in that way. There is ways but it's not for the iron with you. It's because of the elevated hematocrit, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's a little bit more tricky. Like I can give you things that like would bind iron, but in the circumstance of high hematocrit, high RBC, that's a little bit more difficult. So probably for you, I would just wait it out, like because it wasn't anything crazy with you anyway, with regards to RBC hematocrit.
And then talk to my doctor if it comes out higher than he wants for me to continue on TRT.
Yeah, then the conversation can be had. Maybe he'll just give you the prescription to allow you to blood dump. I'm surprised they don't let you do it because, like, what if you had hemochromatosis or something? I suppose you could probably get a prescription then if you had hemochromatosis. But yeah, so yeah, like if it comes back with doc where it still comes back as high, then worth noting. Because there's someone like,
I can
go ahead.
also ask my acupuncturist if he'd be willing to do it.
Yeah, worth
Because
it. Like,
I think he's told me that he's done it to other clients.
Yeah, it's because like you said, a pint of blood shouldn't cause any issues as long as he's, I don't know how they dump it, if he just throws it out his back garden or something, I don't know, but as long as he's getting rid of it appropriately.
Okay. Thank you.
No probs. Anybody else, guys? We good? All right, fellas. Look, have a lovely rest of your evening. Thompson, don't stay up too late. It's already 11:45. Thank you, guys.